Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in today. Got a great show for you. We welcome Andrew Marshall. And Andrew is a marital therapist with 35 years of experience and the author of 20 books translated into 20 different languages. And he is best known for his international bestseller, I Love You, But I'm Not in Love with You. And he's also the host of the Meaningful Life with Andrew G. Marshall podcast, where he talks to people from all walks of life about what makes their life meaningful. And today we talk about the topic of his book, I Love You, But I'm Not in Love with You, and what that means if you feel that towards your partner, or if your partner maybe said that to you. And we talk a lot about how to navigate that. But even if you're not feeling that particular feeling, we talk a lot about conflict resolution. And Andrew gives some great dialogue examples of ways that we can talk to our partner or listen to our partner in the most productive way to resolve conflict. So always valuable to have that information. And I love when we get like those specific dialogue markers of if your partner says something like this, how we can respond and vice versa. So really love that and appreciate all you guys for tuning in. It is really a privilege to be able to sit here and talk to experts on relationships and get this information right alongside you, because that is what I'm trying to do, is improve myself and improve my relationships in my life. So good on you for tuning in, and thank you so much. Enjoy today's show. Hi, Andrew. Thanks so much for joining me on the show.
It's my pleasure.
Today, we're going to talk about something that some of our listeners may be feeling themselves, or something that maybe their partner has said to them. And that is, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. So why don't we start by having you tell us what that means if a partner is experiencing that, and then we'll talk about how we can navigate it.
If you've been told this, it is absolutely devastating. So my commiserations to you. What it means is they sort of want the best for you. They think you're a good person, but actually all the passion and the love has drained out of the relationship. And as many people in this situation say to me, we feel like brother and sister or flatmates. And that's sort of nice, but it's not really a foundation for continuing the rest of your life together. And so it is a warning that the relationship is in a very dark and dangerous place. Now, sometimes people think, oh, well, you know, we will press on and we'll just be nicer to each other. And they hope that's going to make it better. But really, you're just kicking the can down the road. And if you're told, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, please do take it very seriously indeed.
So let's say someone is feeling this. They're like, I love my partner, but I'm not in love with them. That the passion is gone. And that's starting to creep into their head. What questions can they kind of ask themselves before they just run to their partner like, hey, you know, I'm not in love with you anymore, but I still love you. What can we start to go through in our heads if we're starting to feel that?
Well, I think you first of all need to own up to how long you've been feeling this, because what generally tends to happen with inconvenient and uncomfortable feelings is we sort of push them away and we say, oh, I don't really feel like that, or I'm just stressed at work, or it'll be better when the children go to school, or the, you know, the weather changes, or something else. And of course, actually, it's something quite important and fundamental. So I think you have to own up to actually how serious it is and how long it's been going on for. And it's often very difficult, because a lot of the people who come to me with I love you, but I'm not in love with you, are often what their friends think as the perfect couple. You know, when they go out together, they're very friendly, they don't argue, everything on paper looks absolutely wonderful. But actually, the reality is that they're just friends. It's actually a little bit bleh inside, or maybe it's a life of quiet desperation inside there. And what you need to do is realize why it's happened.
And what are some of the questions we can ask ourselves about why it's happened, and then some of the steps we can take to reignite that passion?
Well, the most important thing is you need to be able to argue constructively. And most people with "I love you, but I'm not in love with you" are able to keep everything nice or not to fight. I often get people who say, you know, "My parents fought like cat and dog, and I promised I would not fight," and certainly not over little things. But actually, what happens when we're upset with our partner and we say, "Oh, you know, don't go there. We're friends. We've got to be nice to each other." You've perhaps grown up in families that don't fight. What you do with those negative feelings is you push them down and push them underground. And we think we can actually switch off the nasty feelings like anger, bitterness, frustration, fed up, resentment. We think we can switch those off and, you know, put a nice big smile and think happy thoughts. But we can't choose which feelings we switch off. And sooner or later, we switch off all of our feelings. So nearly always, "I love you, but I'm not in love with you" is because the couple don't argue enough. And the wonderful thing about arguments, I know it sounds strange to say this, is that it's a very good way of bringing issues up to the surface, because you start arguing about, I don't know, the washing up, but actually other issues come up that have been buried as well. And before you know it, you might have actually got to some really quite important things. And then when they've come up to the surface, you can actually deal with them. And I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but actually arguing is a very intimate thing you can do. And unfortunately, when you get "I love you, but I'm not in love with you," lots of couples try and do more loving things for each other. They say, "Let's go out on dates. Let's reignite the passion by putting silk sheets on the bed." But what's happening is they are still avoiding the arguments. You know, I thought when people read my book, "I Love You, But I'm Not in Love with You," that they would come away with this central message: argue more and argue constructively. And we can talk about what makes a constructive argument later. But actually, people often don't want to hear that. They're so much a people pleaser. They're doing what their partner wants, which is a wonderful thing to do. But actually, what can sometimes happen is both of you are people pleasers. Both of you are trying to please the other person. They say, "Where should we go to have food this evening?" You say, "I don't care, wherever you want to go." And they say, "I don't care, wherever you want to go." And, you know, we've got just no passion in this relationship whatsoever. So people pleasers and "I love you, but I'm not in love with you" nearly always goes hand in hand.
Let's talk about how we can argue more constructively. So someone's been suppressing these emotions. They're feeling these things inside. How can they approach their partner in a constructive way?
Well, the most constructive thing you can do is to actually say, "I love you, but I'm not in love with you," because it's a very much a wake-up call. The sort of euphemisms that people tend to use before they reach "I love you, but I'm not in love with you" is, you know, "I'm not feeling it anymore," and, you know, "Oh, you know, I'm fed up." And generally, their nice partner comes along and says, "Oh, don't worry, you know, we'll try harder, you know, I'll lose some weight." And they don't really get the seriousness of it. So, you know, the first thing is really do say, "This is how you feel," because you will be heard, in my experience. The next thing you have to do is be angry. Do you know the story of Pandora and her box from classical mythology?
Kind of, but share it with us.
Well, this is possibly one of the most important things to remember with "I love you, but I'm not in love with you." Pandora was given this box and she was told, whatever she does, don't open the box. And in stories, when people are told not to open the box, what do they do?
Of course, open it up.
Yep. And what comes out is all the furies of the world. And that's what unfortunately is going to happen when you finally, you know, start to argue. And it really doesn't matter. It is just so important to just go bang and let it all out, because what's actually left in the box in the story after all the furies of the world had come out was hope. And what will happen is you will have a really blistering argument, but if you take it seriously and, you know, your partner hears that, you know, this is not going to be pushed under the carpet, you actually realize the seriousness of all of this, you will actually create a sense of hope, the sense that your partner will be listened to. You take seriously what they're saying. So they say, we don't go out enough, you know, you spend all your time at work. Now, if somebody says that to you, your immediate response is, we did go out 3 months ago and, you know, I have to work hard because it pays the bills. And those things might be true, but you're not actually taking your partner's feelings seriously. And they feel if you don't take their feelings seriously because you want to try and rescue it and make it all better straight away, that nothing can change. So when they get angry, don't try and play nice and push it over. You know, acknowledge their anger. You know, I can see you're really angry. And find out exactly what they're angry about. And at that moment, go into their shoes. It's going to be really difficult, but, you know, saving relationships is not a piece of cake. And from where they're standing, everything they say is the truth. I'll say that again because it's important. From where your partner is standing, everything they say is the truth. So from their place, in their shoes, you don't go out anymore and you do spend too much attention on work. So if you take their feelings seriously, if you take their thoughts seriously, they're going to believe you're taking them seriously. And that is actually going to be beginning to rebuild the bond. So, you know, you can give your side of the thing afterwards, but make certain that they have had their chance to really hear. So allow them to be angry or be angry yourself. The next thing you want to do is actually sit down together and say, what are the issues we cannot talk about? Now, have a think about that. What are the issues you can't talk about? And I'm sure if you are honest with yourself, you'll write down some things like, you know, you hate her mother. She earns more than you do. You know, those unmentionable topics you're not allowed to talk about, they do need to be talked about. And this is the moment you're going to talk about them. So we're giving ourselves permission to have feelings. We're beginning to actually address the issues that we have not attached any importance to over the last few years because we're so in love and we're going to be so nice and we're performing love to everybody that we're not actually taking the real temperature.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. Do you want to know one of my favorite meals? It's a slice of toasted bread with tomato, mozzarella, basil, olive oil, salt and pepper, and a little drizzle of balsamic glaze. Makes my heart happy. It's so simple. It's so delicious. And I love that all the ingredients get to show off their individual flavors. I used to eat it all the time as my easy go-to meal. And then all of a sudden, there was a ton of messaging out there telling me that I shouldn't eat carbs and that I shouldn't eat bread and that bread is bad. And I hate to admit it, but I cut out bread entirely for the longest time. And it wasn't until recently that I started to understand that not all bread is created equal. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. I highly recommend that you give their bread a try. They're giving Relationship Advice listeners 10% off when you visit hero.co and use the code IDO at checkout. I was so excited to discover Hero Bread. It's truly amazing, and they've made a product that is tasty and soft while having 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and high in fiber. I'm not going to lie, their white bread is so good, and it makes the best tomato and mozzarella sandwich. Last week, Stella and I were back in Florida visiting our family, and we all walked to the lake, and the only bread we had in the house was Hero Bread. So we grabbed a slice, walked to the lake, and by the time we got there, Stella had eaten the whole piece of bread and, of course, wanted more. So the poor ducks didn't get any Hero Bread, but Stella did. Since I had cut out bread for a while, every time I ate low-quality bread, my body felt bad. It felt bloated and I didn't feel great. But with Hero Bread, I feel good after eating it, which makes my life so much easier because now I can go back to my easy grab-and-go sandwiches when I'm on the run. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code IDO at checkout. That's IDO at hero.co. Hey, Love Tribe. I just want to ask you a few questions. I want to know why you guys are here. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner? Do you want to feel truly heard? Are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? And let's not forget about the fun. Do you long for those fun, giggly moments at the beginning of your relationship? Over the last decade of hosting this podcast with Chase, these have been our top questions. And we get it. We've been there. And that's why we created Spark My Relationship course, because we wanted to put the tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. So we're offering this course, Spark My Relationship, for only $100 until April 6th. In less than 90 days, this self-paced course will help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner, all while having fun doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 psychologists and therapists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. This offer is only going to last until Saturday, April 6th. So head on over to our website, sparkmyrelationship.com, and use the code FLASH24 at checkout to get the course for only $100. That's nearly 60% off, and it won't last. The sale ends April 6th. That's sparkmyrelationship.com and use the code FLASH24 to get our course for only $100.
You've said a couple really valuable things, and I just want to visit the idea that recognizing from where our partner is standing, everything they say is the truth, and validating their feelings, even if that is not what you think is going on. Now, let's just say, and I don't want to say, you know, our partner is always wrong, but obviously there's going to be times when what they're saying is not near the truth. So we validate their feelings, say, oh, I'm sorry you're feeling that way. Tell me more.
No. I'm sorry you're feeling that way is saying, you know, you shouldn't be feeling that way. You know, you're feeling angry. I understand that. Or just, I can see that you're angry. Don't put those, you know, I'm sorry you're angry, you know, because almost the next sentence is you've got no right to be angry. It's a half-assed apology. No, do not say those words.
I'm eating my own words here, and that's why you're on the show, to correct me. So that's super important, and I love these dialogues examples. So we say, I see that you're angry, and then we get curious.
And don't worry if you get it wrong, because they'll soon correct you. I'm not angry. I'm blooming furious. And, you know, you're completely furious. And then they say, you know, because we never go out anymore and you work all the time. So you're saying that I get, so you effectively feed it back to them. You reflect it back. You say, so I see that, I hear that you're angry because we don't go out anymore. And in your opinion, I spend all my time at work. And they will probably not just say that's right. They will give 30 examples of all of that. And, you know, you listen to those, and, you know, you might even reflect back those things, because being felt that you're heard, even if there are things that are painful and difficult, that is an incredibly loving thing to do. You're really showing what love is, that you love your partner because you're prepared to listen to their upset and, you know, not try and dismiss it or make it smaller or tell them that they shouldn't be feeling like that. So that is an incredibly loving thing to do. And then here we have the three most loving words in the English language. Do you know what the three most loving words in the English language are?
I see you.
Not bad, not bad, but this is even better. Tell me more. Now, to actually say to somebody who's giving you all this criticism, tell me more, you can see how loving that is, because, you know, you are prepared to listen to all of this stuff. You know, I love you is a way of trying to shut them up. You know, I love you, so please don't upset me. This is, you're upsetting me, but please tell me more. That is incredibly loving. So, you know, say, tell me more. You know, really listen to this. And, you know, if the criticism is that you spend all your time at work, you know, I would be almost tempted to phone in work the next morning and tell them you're sick and say, you know, I'm actually not going into work tomorrow, so we can actually really talk about this and I can really hear what it feels like from your point of view. And, you know, sometime in that day, you're going to actually discuss, you know, how you see things. But, you know, once your partner has been listened to, they will return the favor. It's something I often say, instead of demanding things from people, be the change you want to see. So, you know, if you want to be heard and taken seriously, you have to listen and take your partner seriously.
That is really valuable way to frame things, and not demanding of our partner, but acting in the way in which we would like to be treated. So you've given us some great dialogue examples. Now, And notice how I want to get to the part where we're able to respond. So our partner is angry. We're saying, I see that you're angry. Tell me more. Being curious. And then at what point can we talk about our side of the situation and how can we do that?
I think I'd like some curious questions, a few more, not just curious. I'd like some curious questions. How does this make you feel? When do you feel that? Can you give me an example of a time when you felt like this? Oh, I'm not quite certain I understand that. Could you run that past me again? You know, really lots of curious questions. Curious questions start who, why, what, when, how. They're not leading questions. You know, wouldn't you agree that I took this job so that I could spend more time at home, sort of kind of thing. No, you're not a barrister. You're there curious. You want to find out. But yes, there does come a time when, you know, you're allowed to have your side of the piece. So what you do is you say, you know, I'm really interested in what you've been saying, you know, and I've really learned some important things. You know, might even tell them what you've learned. That would be really brilliant. Can I tell you how things are from my point of view? Now, if they say, well, you know, you're now going to make this all about you or whatever, and they're going to get defensive and angry, now is not the time to do it. You know, there's always tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. But I promise you that they will be interested once they've been heard. And generally, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Couples, they're so nice that they'll be only too anxious to hear you. In fact, the problem might be that they won't tell you enough about how they're feeling because they're going to want to try and make it better straight away. So actually, almost, if they're taking a long time, that's probably good because there's a lot that's got to come out.
And, you know, we say, can I tell you how things are from my point of view? Let's say someone that's listening is like, yeah, I did that. And then my partner is not super receptive to hearing my side. What would you tell them?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be interested to know why you're not super receptive to hearing my point of view. You know, tell me more about that. Because there must be a very good reason, because you love this person, you've spent all these years with them, and they don't want to listen to you, and they don't take what you're saying seriously. I wonder why that is. And it's probably because there's some really big hurts that have not been attended to. You know, there's some things from the past that are really painful that have just been sort of pushed all over. And so, you know, let's find out that if they really don't want to listen and it's really difficult once you've got all of this going, then, you know, it might be that you need a third wheel to help you along. It could be when you think that you're being open and hearing things, you're actually being defensive and a little bit passive aggressive, you know, oh, you would say that. That somebody on the outside can actually spot some of these things and actually, you know, help you find ways of reformatting it. You know, if actually one person is speaking all the time and the other person's not speaking at all, they can help sort of balance up the time, because sometimes there is one partner who is far more verbally effective than the other. And maybe the less verbally agile person just needs a bit more time to formulate their thoughts. If that's you, you know, go away, write it all down, think about what it is you really want to say, because sometimes, you know, you're going around the houses to say it and that's destructive. Maybe you're using a lot of you words. Now, by this, you know, the reason why I don't come home is because every time I come through the door, you've got this look on your face, and you know I'm fed up with coming back and having that look on your face. So it's all about you. But if you make it all I statements, I feel it's difficult to come home because of the atmosphere in the home. You know, I dread coming home sometimes. This is all about yourself, rather than actually being heard as blame to your partner. So use I words. Try never to use the word you when you're at this particular point. You know, actually say we if you have to do something that brings in your partner, but try not to say the word you. The next one I would say that would really help is cut out all the extreme words like should, never, always, because your partner is immediately going to think of some examples when they have done this or something has actually happened that contradicts you. But if you say often, they're more likely to hear it and it's not going to feel quite so critical. The other word I would try and cut out is the word but. As you can see in I love you, but I'm not in love with you, what it actually does is it just cuts out everything that's come before you. So instead of the I love you, we hear I'm not in love with you. So people often say yes, but. Now, if you disagree, you say yes, and. Yes, I hear that I spend a lot of time at work, and I wish I could be with you and our children more often, but work is very demanding. So you're making both of these things equally important. If you use the word but, it negates. So let me just go through those three things again. Use I statements rather than use. Ban the word but from your conversation, and also get rid of the always, musts, shoulds, nevers, those absolutes.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Hey, Love Tribe, I have just a few questions for you. I want to know why you are here listening to the podcast. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner and you want to feel truly heard? Or are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? Or do you just long for those fun, giggly moments of connection that you used to have at the beginning of your relationship? Well, over the last decade of hosting this podcast, those were the main reasons people tuned into the show. And we get it. We've been there. So we created our course, Spark My Relationship, because we wanted to put those tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. We're offering $100 off our course, Spark My Relationship, which is a self-paced course designed to help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner and have an amazing time doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. So to unlock this special offer of our course, our listeners can visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to get $100 off. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
These are some great dialogue tools, Andrew, and ways that we can argue better and more productively. What are some other ways we can create more passion and shake things up in a relationship that has gone a bit dull?
Right. Let's talk about sex then, shall we? My number one tip for sex is really just to learn to talk about sex, because, and this actually is a technique for talking about difficult things in general. It's called positive inquiry. Now, let me explain about positive inquiry. The problem when we have a problem is our sex life is dull, is we're immediately going to solve it. We're going to think of 10 reasons why it's dull, aren't we? We're going to think, we've been together for 20 years, the children are up late at night. You know, we're going to think problems, problems, problems. And, I'm already more depressed than I was before we started, just thinking of those two examples. With positive inquiry, we look at what is working and try and build on it. Well, if there's nothing very much working at the moment, let's look backwards. You know, when sex was good, what was good about it? You know, what did we enjoy? You know, we enjoyed the long evenings cuddling on the sofa beforehand, or we liked being able to get away to the beach, or what it was that worked, and identify all the things that worked. You know, we've got time away from home, we've got time together to just get on the same wavelength. So we're beginning to identify what works. And so the first stage of this is discover what worked or what works still. You know, the time, you know, we had really nice sex 3 weeks ago. What made that work? Why was it so good? What did you like about it? You know, this is all positive inquiry. If somebody says something negative, write it down on a piece of paper and say, you know, that's important that we recognize that there is a problem with A, but let's put that to one side and we can talk about that later. Let's just stay with all the positive things. So this is the discover. And then we sort of dream about what is it that we would like? If anything was possible, what would we like? You know, we would like to have more space for ourselves, for example. We'd like to have more time. We'd like to do different things. So you then think about how you would like it to be, and then you can begin to design how it could be. So we've just said that we need time together. Well, let's arrange a weekend away again. If we want longer together on the sofa beforehand and more time to be together before we go into the bedroom, for example, then, you know, how can we arrange that? Well, we could have supper an hour earlier, for example. You can actually begin to think of some practical things that would help. So if you can actually talk about sex, you, and in this sort of positive kind of way, rather than the, oh, what's wrong sort of kind of way, you're beginning to get a creative mind together that's going to be really beautiful to bring into the bedroom. The other thing that I would say is slow the lovemaking down. Most couples, because they're short of time, and, you know, they're worried about being overheard, have trained themselves to have sex as quickly and as silently as possible, which is not really very passionate and very exciting. So I would maybe not just slow it down, but actually just stay with the foreplay, to actually say, however turned on we're going to be, we're not going to go for orgasm. Because we sort of rush to, I'm afraid this is a male problem, we tend to rush for the breasts and the vagina, and we don't make love to the whole person. And there's only a certain amount of time that our wives and girlfriends actually will put up with that sort of kind of behavior without sort of zoning out. And zoning out doesn't make for great sex. So I would say slow down. You know, actually spend your time stroking and being sensual. You know, really pretend you've never seen a human foot before. Imagine you've come from another planet and you're going to spend 10, 15 minutes exploring that foot, for example. I mean, obviously, if your partner is ticklish and they don't like their feet being touched, that's not the right place to start. But, you know, go where the interest is, or, you know, where even just stroking their arm and hand, you know, really look at it. It is extraordinary how our hands are put together. You know, feel it. Feel where it sort of is rather nice. You know, the sort of lumpy, slightly lumpy thing on the back of your, on where your fingers bend. You know, it's quite an interesting sensation there. I'm just stroking mine. And so if that's, you're finding that nice, you know, you stay there for a few minutes, because, you know, our fingers are sources of great sensual pleasure. You know, really switch your fingers on and feel it. We spend so much time using our hands as implements. We don't actually stop. In fact, why don't you do this now? Just stop and just really feel at the end of your fingertips something. You know, it could be, I've got my phone here as well, and I'm just feeling the stitching on the cover. And, you know, really feel the sensual pleasure of those little bumps going over your fingers. Switch your fingers on so they're not implements that you use to write or pick up a knife and fork with, or just go straight for the vagina, that you're actually feeling the sensual pleasure of touch. Because if you are feeling that sensual pleasure yourself of the touch, you know, your partner will feel the difference. This is a touch that's really there, that's actually really connecting, rather than just sort of, you know, heading straight to the vagina.
Well, Andrew, we could talk about so many more things, but you've given us an amazing primer and foundation for things to think about, you know, resolving conflict in a productive way, and then moving towards something more positive, is how to communicate. Not that resolving conflict's not positive, but how to communicate around sex or other things that are hard to talk about. So thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing all this great information. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online? And if there's anything that you want to emphasize that we went over, or maybe something that we didn't get to, and then we'll say goodbye.
Okay. So I'm Andrew G. Marshall. And you can find me at www.andrewgmarshall.com. I'm on Facebook, Pinterest, and YouTube, and Twitter. Twitter is my main account. I have a resource that I think you'll find really useful, which is called The Meaningful Life with Andrew G. Marshall. And I look at what makes life meaningful. And that can be meaningful relationships. It can be anything that makes life more meaningful. So I often talk about a lot of relationship related things like boundaries, attachment theory, infidelity, as well as things like synchronicity and what happens at the end of life. So it's a broad set of topics, but there's a lot about relationships, and you'll find a lot of very useful material about relationships. I have 20 books that I've written on relationships. I think the most important ones to mention here is I Love You, But I'm Not in Love with You, 7 Steps to Saving Your Relationship. And then I have 2 books that look at the difference for men and for women. So for men, I have a book called My Wife Doesn't Love Me Anymore. And for women, I have a book called My Husband Doesn't Love Me and He's Texting Someone Else, because unfortunately, if you don't catch I Love You, But I'm Not in Love with You, it turns into I'm not in love with you and I'm in love with somebody else. So that's another reason for taking it very seriously.
Excellent. Well, we'll have the links to all of those resources and books in our show notes and at idopodcast.com. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's been an absolute delight, and I wish you every success with this wonderful resource that you're putting together for people.
As always, thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner, or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.